All right. What is going on, everybody? Welcome back to another day of Saber Sims DFS Office Hours. Today is Monday, April 29th of 2024. Looking ahead, we have a three-game NBA main slate today. We have a nine-game MLB main slate. We have a two-game NHL main slate. So three sports of action coming at you today. Should be a fun day of DFS. For those of you who are new here, welcome. My name is Andrew. I'm one of the coaches over here at SaberSim. This is a show where we go over how to use the SaberSim app, answer any and all DFS-related questions. You get your questions in one of three ways here. First off, send us an email, support@sabersim.com. Second, post it live in the YouTube chat. Third way, post it in the Office Hours channel in our Discord server. If you're not in our Discord and want to get access to that channel, there is a link in the description of this video. You also get access to our similar channels, individual sport channels, and you get access to the rest of the SaberSim team. So can't say enough good things about the Discord. But with that said, we do this show Monday through Friday, 4 p.m. Eastern. We do this show on Saturdays at 11 a.m. Eastern. So tune in and get your questions answered. But with that said, good opportunity here to get the SaberSim app pulled up. We're going to start with questions that came in the Discord as always, and then we will jump over to the live YouTube chat. So taking a peek here, looks like our first question came in from Carney. Question says, for MLB Showdown, are the Sims trained to predict which relief pitchers are more likely to pitch in a given game flow, such as the setup man and closer will usually only pitch in a tie game or with a small lead, or some relievers tend to eat innings in a blowout, etc.? Also, how do you decide which relief pitchers get a projection and which don't? There are usually a few relievers in each MLB Showdown game who are active and rested but don't have a projection. Okay, so a couple of different questions here. I actually did go and refer to ask the team here, the model team, about this. So this is basically what they told me, you know, going back to like, are the Sims trained to predict which relief pitchers are more likely to pitch? The answer is yes for setup and closers, much better with those like closers specifically here. Probably a little worse with like middle relievers, where it's kind of hard to tell like which guy is going to come in like the sixth or the seventh. There's definitely opportunity to add value there. One of the best things that you could be doing is looking at which pitchers have pitched recently. The model is not taking that into account. So if you have somebody who has pitched the last 2 days, the model is not going to understand that, hey, this guy is probably unavailable and this other pitcher is more likely to come in. So definitely some value by understanding how each team's use their relievers and how likely they are to pitch and how much rest. If you're tracking those things over a season or just like looking at the team history and looking at trends. So the too long didn't read of it, you know, to sum it up is we're better with closers and predicting when they're going to come in. And there is some value to be added in some of like the middle relievers, etc. All right. Good question there to get us started. And then if you're seeing a reliever that is not projected, that means that we are not simming or in our sims, they are not pitching. And if you see that, and if you think it's wrong, that's a good opportunity to add a manual projection for the pitcher. So I would probably honestly just like match somebody who's like really similar. If you're seeing like a 2-point projection for one middle reliever, then do the same for another middle reliever. So that's what I would recommend there. All right. Good question there. Next question here from Ron. Demetrius said, I see a black screen. I'm seeing the SaberSim screen on my side. I'll try taking it off and then putting it back up. But it looks like everything's good on my side. If somebody else can let me know, I'll see what I could do. All right. Ron said, I've done the basics, build, review, rebuild. I didn't tweak much because I don't generally have any strong opinions. Will my lineups be a lot like other SaberSim folks? What are some specific settings or actions I could do to create separation? Okay, so this is probably a good opportunity to talk about the different build modes here. So when you go into your settings, you see this build mode option. There is sim mode and there is optimizer mode. So what optimizer mode is doing is it is creating the highest projected lineups possible, and then, you know, creating the second highest projected, and then the third, and then the fourth. Well, if two unique SaberSim users both ran a build on optimizer mode, then they would get the same lineup because it is solving a mathematical problem of the highest projected lineup based on the average sims that you, based on the average projections that you see in the app. Now, when you use sim mode, which is our recommended version, which is the default here, this sim diversity slider is going to help you to be different from other Saber Sim users. So for instance, we have 5,000 game sims of how each game on the slate plays out. And then every time we build your lineup, depending on where this sim diversity slider is set at, we are randomly sampling a certain number of sims from each game every time we go to build your lineup. So for the Boston-Miami game, we might take sim 1, sim 101, sim 3001, and then take three different sims for the OKC game, three different sims for the Laker game, and then build your lineup. And then the next time we go in, we're going to grab three different sims from each game and then combine those. And then so what you end up with is, you know, let's say that you're trying to take five game sims from 5,000, and then you take that to like the power of three. And basically what you get is this very, very large number where it makes it highly unlikely that you end up with the same lineup as another Saber Sim user. So, you know, the way I like to explain it is that your chances of duplicating in any given contest are no higher to a Saber Sim user than they are to another user in the contest. So like when I'm thinking about duplication, I'm just thinking about the contest as a whole. Ultimately, you know, I think Saber Sim users are a, you know, subset of the DFS population, but they're not an overwhelming majority of them. So, you know, one thing is like you're using the same projections. Okay. You know, that's going to help you to be a little bit more aligned, maybe in like some of the stances you're taking, things like that. But just through the raw combinatorial, like, amount of sims that you can combine makes it unlikely that you're going to get the same exact lineups, especially when building your lineups for classic slates with sim diversity, you know, somewhere in this 7, 8, 9 region. All right. Glad the screen is back for you, Demetrius. Appreciate the heads up though. All right. Jumping over to the YouTube chat, question from Deshaun: how would I use SaberSim to play for late swap tonight with the possibility of Jamal Murray being out? Yeah, good question. You know, it's the last game of the night. You know, late swap and quick swap are going to help you to take care of those things automatically, right? Like if you have lineups with Murray and, you know, you have the late swap icon, you know, you could just one for one swap him with the best projected player. You could run a late swap to get the best possible player like rebuilt with your lineups. That there's, you know, more than one player not locked, right? Like let's say that you have three lineup spots available and one of those is Jamal Murray. Well, the builder is going to rebuild your lineup and get you the next best possible set of three players, depending on how that goes. So I think some of those things, you know, you're going to have to make a decision like, hey, you know, am I okay with the risk that Jamal Murray sits and having a lot of exposure to him? You should kind of try and decide that. You know, you could do things where like, hey, I want to guarantee that I'm using three players from the Denver Laker game because I want to have that salary and positional flexibility in the case that Jamal Murray sits, right? Like that's a very specific thing that you can do. You can let it ride. You know, one thing that you're going to see here is that the minimax salaries for showdowns are, I'm sorry, for these playoff slates have been very wide, you know, min salaries down at 44,000. So I'm not worried about your opportunity to get to somebody else. You know, if we just come in here and look at Denver, you know, Jamal Murray is a point guard or utility. So, you know, then you kind of have to go in here like, okay, you know, who fits these roles, right? And then maybe what you do is like, hey, I only want to play Jamal Murray in the utility. And then you go into his other positions like point guard and the guard spot. And you just say, hey, I don't want to use Jamal Murray in these spots. That way, regardless of whether he plays or not, at least, you know, you can get the next best player for the remaining salary, regardless of their positional eligibility. So all right, next question here. Should I set a group rule to include at least three Nugget players in all of my lineups or just run a build and let Saber Sim sort it out? Yeah, I mean, that's definitely one of the things that we talked about here. There's nothing wrong with doing that. All right, next question. Also for MLB DFS, are you okay with lowering the minimum salary or using zero for minimums? some of like the correlation and stacking components of MLB can lead to allowing minimal lower salary lineups into your builds and being okay. So looks like the default today is like 48,000. I'll typically lower this like a couple thousand here. You know, I'm totally fine with like 45,000. I don't put it to zero. I just kind of don't think it's necessary. But, you know, what I would recommend is like, hey, you know, come in here and run a build and just see what the builder is giving you and what you could do. So like, say I want to just like test this out, right? Like, okay, I'm going to build 500 lineups. I'm going to build it on a minimum salary zero. Well, then come in here and then inversely sort by salary after the lineups are built. And then just kind of see what are the lowest salary lineups you're getting to start with and what do they look like? And kind of see like, hey, when SaberSim is left to its own devices, like what is it giving you? You know, just because you're saying you can use minimum salary zero doesn't mean it's going to use, you know, the lowest salary lineup possible. It's still using the Sims, it's still trying to build good lineups, but you're just giving it more flexibility to do what it wants. So looks like these lineups are loading. I'm going to come in here and sort by salary. I'm going to change the arrow to be pointing up. So our lowest salary lineup here is 37,900, and it is still a 5-3 stack of a game. So this is, you know, a big game stack here, Minnesota against the White Sox. You know, this would be like a high scoring run affair from both sides here. You know, I don't personally think there's anything wrong with this lineup, you know, correlation wise. There's, you know, I would be fine playing it. You know, maybe you spend up and get some better pitchers here. Some names that I'm not super familiar with. So that's like a little interesting, right? If you like the, you know, guts of this lineup, right? You could always come in here and use the pencil icon and be like, okay, maybe I don't want to play M. Waldron, and I want to go and pick a different pitcher, and maybe I'd rather play Ryan Pepiot, right? And maybe I don't want to play B. Falter. I'd rather play Max Fried, right? So then I come in here and I say that lineup, and you know, I've taken, you know, most of what this lineup was, and I've made some small adjustments to it, but the salary for this lineup is still going to be really low. Like these, both of these pitchers were in like the 6K range, so we go from like 37,900 salary to like 42,000-43,000 with a max of 50,000, right? So still lower salary, but I've made a couple adjustments, right? And there's nothing wrong with coming in here and editing the lineup for those small tweaks. So some thoughts there. All right, last question. For NBA DFS, is your process still the same? Are you looking at ownership, then value, then sorting by leverage, or have you changed it up for the playoffs? No, I mean, the guts of that are still, you know, really similar. You know, I want to get a feel for the slate. I want to understand where the ownership is going. I want to understand who are the value plays. You know, there's a lot less in the playoffs, right? You're not going to see like starters sitting very often unless they like absolutely have to. I think tonight is, I can't think of like anybody really other than like Jamal Murray being questionable, who is like a, you know, shoe-in type of value play, right? Like you coming down here, you look at the out players and it's nobody new. Like all these guys have been out and, you know, like Zion's been out, Jimmy Butler's been out, Terry Rozier's been out. So like, I'm not seeing anything really new here, right? I think we saw this like a little bit last game with Milwaukee where like Damian Lillard sat, right? And like that was like a whole thing where Lillard sat and then Bobby Portis got ejected and then Chris Middleton got hurt. And like that game, you know, resembled like late season NBA like madness. But I think that's like so rare. Like we're not going to see that very often here. So I think there's a little bit less there, but definitely looking at like exposure and leverage and trying to find a balance. I'd say that, you know, in the playoffs, I'm trying to be like a little more balanced rather than take these like super hard positions. So just some thoughts there. All right. Question from Mike. I just hopped onto the live stream. Can you talk about correlation and sim diversity for NBA lineups? Yeah, sure. So, you know, in this like 3-game slate, correlation is going to be basically off. I mean, if you come in here and look at any individual player, you know, the correlation values are going to be low in a sense of like absolute value. So highest positive correlation for Nikola Jokic is 0.01, and highest negative correlation is negative 0.7. So 0.07, sorry. And if you go and compare these to other sports, you know, to baseball, you're going to see correlations 2 to 3 times that, you know, 0.15, 0.2. If you go and look at like football or even like NHL with the NHL playoffs going on, you're going to see players on the same lines with like 0.3, 0.2, like really high correlations. So overall, you know, correlations in NBA are really low. The less and less games on the slate, think about like the less and less games, the closer and closer you're moving to needing the optimal lineup to win. Not to say you're going to need it, but you're going to need, you know, quite a few components from the optimal lineup to get to a winning lineup. I mean, I'd say at least like 4 out of 8 players probably. And so you're going to see correlation go down. We're not going to need to take it into account. We're going to rely more and more on the play-by-play sim. You know, the less and less games, the more sim diversity goes up, until if you go and look at any single game slate, we're using sim diversity 10, where we're plucking a single game sim from our sims and using that game sim to build your lineup. So as the number of games on a slate goes down, correlation will go down, sim diversity will go up to account for needing, you know, closer and closer to the optimal score to win here. So that is what's going on with the sliders. All right. Looks like we are all caught up with questions here in both the Office Hours channel and the YouTube chat. So appreciate you guys tuning in here on a Monday. Happy to be back at it this week. We'll be right back here tomorrow, 4 p.m. Eastern, for our next show. So until then, everybody, take care. Good luck. I'll see you all. Thanks. Bye.